Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yvonne sells cartoon balloons in town.
Sir Elton bringing us back. One of my favorites of his, Yvonne. Welcome back, 23 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm having a great visit with our good friend Ken Davis. Kenneth C. Davis is the name of the book, In the Shadow of Liberty, The Hidden History of Slavery, Four Presidents and Five Black Lives. This is an outstanding new book by one of our great historians, Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen, and a great member of our Brain Trust and one of the friends of the show. Ken, thanks again for being here. Congratulations again on another outstanding, excellent piece of work.
Thank you, Jim, and I appreciate your time and your interest so much. And for anyone who is interested, you can find out more about the book at my site, which is don'tknowmuch.com. There's a lot there about what's in this book. And again, I want to focus on the idea. We talk about slavery and ideas and capitalism and all these, you know, democracy, all these ideals and isms. But this is the story of five real people. And I have in the book photographs of three of these five people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of astonishing idea when we think, oh, this happened a long time ago. One of these men died in 1901, Alfred, who went by the name of Alfred Jackson. And he is buried in the Hermitage garden right beside the gravesite of Andrew and Rachel Jackson under a headstone that says Uncle Alfred, 1901. So a man who was enslaved by Andrew Jackson lived to the 20th century.
The irony of the inhumanity and the humanity having a hard time differentiating from one second to the next, inhumanity, the inhumanity of owning a slave, but the humanity of caring about that person. Is there anything that has more irony you can cut with a knife?
No, there is nothing more ironic, Jim, and we were talking about it before, the contradiction and what did these men think of it. Washington knew it was a contradiction. By 1786, he's writing to Robert Morris, the man who funds the American Revolution in some ways. He says, no one wishes more than I do for a plan for abolition. But at the height of his power and prestige, he really does almost nothing to make that happen. And this is one of the great failures of that generation. They were optimistic. They believed that slavery was going to die out, that slavery would, democracy would ultimately mm-hmm. take over. But on the other hand, men like Madison and Jefferson also said, the two races can never exist together.
That's why they
believed in colonization. In other words, sending African Americans back to Africa, which wasn't a popular idea.
Well, you know, Ken, folks, there are other offerings out there. You've seen television shows, movies about these periods, about slavery. And so many times, Ken, there's so much politics that's put into the story that I've gone back on a couple of them and done some research. And the political angle of the program completely disrupted the history, the truth of history. And that's, folks, that's what I like about what Ken does. There's no, you know, Ken's not a political person. He doesn't have an axe to grind. This is just reporting to you about what these people were doing, who they were, and not only what they were thinking, but what their relationship was with the people the people who own them, right?
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. I don't have this isn't a political axe to grind, but on the other hand, you mentioned politics, and we have to bring up the fact of the matter that, you know, why were four of the first five presidents slaveholders from Virginia, 10 of the first 12 presidents slaveholders, and this is where slavery was power. The Three-Fifths Compromise that the Constitution was built on that counted enslaved people in the census mm-hmm. for the purpose of determining votes in Congress and electors was very, very powerful. Massachusetts and Pennsylvania had more free white people than Virginia, but Virginia was the largest state when the three-fifths of its enslaved people were counted.
Mm-hmm.
That gave the slaveholding South a tremendous political power that it held for most of the first half of the 19th century, and that ultimately, that financial and political power, not the morality so much, is what ultimately drives the country towards.
Well, and the people who were coming to the country, the Europeans who were coming to the country, were landing more at the in the tidewater than they were in Manhattan, right? I mean, they were flooding from Ireland and England and Scotland and other parts of the country through Charleston and places like that, and they were flooding into that part of the country.
Oh, absolutely. There was immigration to all parts of the country, and some of it was, as always, based on religion. But
right.
Pennsylvania, New York, and New England were always drawing and attracting
mm-hmm.
new immigrants. And we can do another couple of hours on immigration.
Well, and the other thing, there were plenty of white servants too. There were plenty of indentures, except they couldn't be sold. So I've got about 45 seconds.
Let me just answer that quickly.
Go ahead.
Indentures were expensive, and slaves were less expensive. Indentured,
yep.
You had to free a slave you kept for life, and their children were slaves too.
Right.
So there was a powerful inducement to move away.
You couldn't
away
beat
from
them,
indentures.
And you couldn't sell them. But also
the economy in Europe changed, so fewer people were
mm-hmm.
willing to come to America.
30 seconds. Tell us. Give us the 30-second thumbnail on the new book.
This is the story of people who have been left out of the history books, and their stories are just as important in many ways as the men who owned them under the letter of the law, and it's time to bring their
mm-hmm.
stories out of the shadows.
Folks, as you know, I talk a lot of books on the show, but I don't do a lot of pure book reviews, as we've kind of done today, and only for a guy like Ken and with an important book like this would I do this. Ken, thank you for being here. Congratulations again on the book. I know it's going to be a great seller.
Thank you very much, Jim. You know what Faulkner said, the past is never really past.
Exactly. Well said. Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen. Kenneth C. Davis, that's the name of the book, In the Shadow of Liberty, wherever books are sold. Check out his website at kennethdavis.com. Quick.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.